I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
That was the other thing about last night's game, is that I thought New England banged up offensive line. Maybe they'd be vulnerable a little bit. Maybe you'd see some life from the Giants defense with the new coordinator. Could not be more wrong. I mean, that was an absolute ass kicking from start to finish. The Pats looked great. Those great uniforms that they were wearing.
Those are nice.
Yeah, that was just a dominant performance against the Giants. We shouldn't be shocked at it at all. I know you picked the Patriots. Like you said, you hit your perfect parlay with that. So good call by you. But I just had a feeling, and even with Dart being back, that they'd be more competitive. You could argue that was one of the worst games that we've seen all year long with the Giants.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, it's funny. I had this written down yesterday. I don't know where it is, but, you know, I'm going to include the Jets for a moment. Think about, now, last night was not one of them, but to your point about the competitive losses the Giants have had,
Think
about how many games we've sat there and watched these teams flush wins down the chute. I mean, we've chronicled the Giants because it's been such excruciating pain in the fourth quarter, the Denver game, all the games that we went through, the Bears. But, you know, the Jets have done that three or four times themselves, starting with the Steelers in week one. So usually when the Jets and the Giants are this miserable, now the Jets are showing some sparks of improvement and a little energy, which is welcome and maybe, you know, a good thing for the future for Aaron Glenn, et cetera, and Darren Mooji is the GM. But usually when you have three wins and two wins and it's December 2nd, yeah, I mean, you're usually getting whacked each week because you're just very much devoid of talent, whereas this has been unique in the sense that they've given us a lot of competitive games, and now, I mean, you are what you are, as Parcells would say, the record, but we can conceivably have 6, 7, 8 more wins between the two teams.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, I know.
I know. It doesn't cut the check. I know.
They still both stay. The records are what they are.
I know. I guess my main point is that usually bad teams don't seize as many leads. Whereas at least they gave you a little theater in that regard.
Right, but in a, like, the league, and that's why when people call and say, oh, the Giants are close, it's laughable to me. The league is set up to have extreme parity from one year to the next, in season, game to game. It's designed to be close. So the anomaly should be the blowout. Most games, and I don't know this statistically, but it feels like every weekend there are a bunch of games that come down to, you know, one or two scores, or a team could be in it. So losing with a close game is not something that I'd hang my hat on and be like, well, we're making progress, because I feel like a lot of the teams, even the losing teams, lose close games.
I hear you on that, but I do think there's a difference. Like losing a tight game, say you lose, I don't know, 30-24, some game, the Cardinals in Seattle, and we didn't watch the game, right? And Seattle's up big, and maybe you get a couple of late cosmetic touchdowns for the Cardinals. You make it seem like, oh, wow, they only lost by 6, or, oh, wow, they covered. Yeah, they were right there. They lost by a score. That's one way to lose, even though it literally is only one score. But the way the Giants in particular were losing was they were jumping out to these big leads, which is far different than getting a little late backdoor lucky cover. I get it. You either win or you don't. The one thing that I've noticed too, Sal, real fast, is that the home field advantage has really evaporated throughout the NFL. I think it's kind of like that in the NBA now. I know there's been some stats over the years.
Why do you think that is? The NBA specifically.
My first
Knicks have a great home court advantage, or at least they played much better at home.
Knicks are 10-1 so far. How's the clown doing?
Yeah, he's still clowning to me. Yeah. He's just
the clown.
Come on, dude.
Listen, they played well the other night against the Raptors. Yeah. The I think this is this could be a completely erroneous theory. It's just the first thing that hits me. I think part of the reason home field advantage has become more benign in all sports, all platforms here, is that the crazy fanatical fan, like when you and I were younger, mm-hmm. going to these stadiums, has been priced out. And for the most part, you get more of kind of a sterile, little antiseptic, you know, the wealthy crowd. Oh, yeah, sure, we got great tickets to the although the Garden's different. We got great tickets for the Giants game or the Jets game or whatever game you want to talk about. Sure, I'll go. I'll get to sit in the suite. Yeah, sure. And by the way, a lot of the stadiums, all of them, have the new ones have suites. So when you're in a suite, are you really watching the game or are you having a conversation or getting something to eat or getting another drink or going to the bathroom without, you know, 30 people in your way? I think it's a different level of engagement. I think there's more to do with these stadiums, particularly in baseball. I think that's one off-the-cuff theory. I would think there would be something to that. Maybe some other factors I'm not considering now, but, you know.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We also talked about the baseball with Devin Williams signing with the Mets. Mark is in Kings Park. Been holding on that thought. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Football as well. So here's my thoughts, and I have 2 points. One on Devin Williams and another point on the Mets. Mm-hmm. Devin Williams, great if he's a setup man, you know, just like what you guys said, as long as they get back to Yaz. But the signing, I think the Mets' next move, in order to also make this Devin Williams signing relevant, is they need to get another starting pitcher, because if you're still having consistently, like what you've said, Sal, starting pitchers going 3 or 4 innings, doesn't matter who your 8th and 9th inning guys are, you have problems 4 through 7. So I think that's essential. That's going to be the next move. Hopefully it's Michael King. So that's the first point.
Sal doesn't want Michael King.
I'm not opposed to Michael King. I mean, that's the guy you're hopeful for is the next move. They need one or two big moves. That, to me, would...
Peralta.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey, but now you're talking. That's a little bit...
whoever you want. Like, you know, whoever you want. I'm not, like, you know...
Scooble, Ranger Suarez, Framber Valdez, even though I love him. Like, those are... They need, to me, one big trade and one big free agent signing.
100%. Yeah, like, you can insert whoever you want. Like, we just needed a major upgrade, and regardless of any of those names, I think they're all big upgrades, because nobody on our rotation, I have a lot of hope, can go 7 innings. So, whoever you want, great. Not going to argue. Second point is the Mets have a lot of players that kind of suffer from Ryan Thompson disease or, like, Alex Ochoa disease.
Look at those names. I love those Mets.
Hey, I've been calling WFAN since 1987 when Howie Rose was still on WFAN.
There you go, Mark.
I'm South Age.
Attaboy.
So I called up when I was like 7 wanting Pedro Martinez from the Expos.
Nice.
So I go back there with Sal. I'm you guys' age. That's why I love you guys. So we have a lot of those guys that suffer from Alex Ochoa disease and whatnot, right? And at some point, right, this year I think it's going to be big for Vigantos, if he's on a team, Beatty, although I really like him at third base. I think he needs to go in to the season at third base. However, that we still have a gluttony of other ant players, right? And now the biggest asset that I see from inside, right? And obviously you can go outside, right? But you can't get free agents at every single position, right? It's impossible. And so center field is where the Mets are probably going to have to stay in-house, right? And, like, obviously, you know, we have Carson Bench, right? And we have we have Teller here, you know, that's currently playing center field, mm-hmm. right? But another guy that I think, and this is kind of out of left field, pun intended, is that Ronnie Mauricio, I think, should transition to center field. His biggest
He's not fast enough, Mark. Mauricio, he could play center field. No way.
Why?
I don't think he's fast enough. I just said it. He's slow.
The guy could steal 60 bases. The guy's a very quick first step.
Are we talking about the same guy? Ronnie Mauricio?
He's not going to play second base. Well, he's not playing second base, right?
Yeah, I've seen him all. I like him. I don't love him.
You got to do better than center field Ronnie Mauricio.
I don't love him either. Yeah. Right, I don't love him either. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He needs to play somewhere, though. He's 20.
I don't know that he does. First of all, he misses curveballs by a mile.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call there, Mark. You know, and by the way, just to back this up, so I don't seem I'm shouting you down. his sprint speed is in the 13th percentile in Major League Baseball. Now, all right, small sample, understood. All right, coming off the bad knee injury, maybe he's got to get, you know, got to get it going a little bit. So maybe he's a little quicker. He is not center field quick under any circumstance. I'm not saying that he doesn't have good hands or isn't an interesting player, but
no, he might be third base.
Yeah, but yeah, he could be third. Yeah.
He was
could
fine
be maybe
over there.
Quarter left field at some point. I don't know. He's not playing center. No way.
No, they need to get a real center fielder, whether it's somebody outside the organization or whether it's Carson Mensch, Jet Williams could potentially play center field. They have to get a real center fielder. It's not going to be Ronnie Mauricio in center field.
And think about all the different options you and I have thrown out from, well, maybe if the qualifying offer by Grisham is turned down, maybe the Mets sign Grisham, or maybe they get Bellinger, and they put all the things we've talked about, and McNeil in center for a minute, which we shot down. And not once has Mauricio come up. It's a non-option.
Yeah, because he's not a center fielder.
No.
You have to, and also this is not the 2012 Mets. This is the 2020, you know, soon to be 2026 Mets with Steve Cohen. You can't accept that. Mauricio would be lucky to have a spot on the team, period. Now,
true.
I'm not knocking him and his potential. We don't know yet. But you also can't go into the year with five guys that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
One or two or three max for me would be the case. I don't know what's happening with first base. I'm assuming Alonso's going to be back, and maybe that's a big assumption on my part. But you know, you got Simeon. You know, you got Lindor. Assuming catching is going to be the same situation with Alvarez. Plus, Soto's in right. He's not going anywhere. Although I guess you can make an argument he could go to left.
If you get Tucker.
But they get a real right fielder, center field. One of the outfield spots. They're going to get, I would assume, a big outfielder. And then the other outfield spot is going to be occupied by Carson Mensch. Maybe they will find a way to work Jet Williams. That would leave third base as a spot, third base slash DH as an open spot, whether it's Beatty, Mauricio, Vientos. Remember, they still have to clean that up.
I think Beatty's going to be the third base. Remember when Mendoza went back to him late in the season?
Okay, maybe.
Defense picked up any hit.
Yeah, maybe.
I like Beatty.
Maybe.
I like him a lot more than Mauricio.
Yeah, maybe he DHs a little bit. Remember, and again, then there were reports that the Mets were in on Kyle Schwarber yesterday. Who the hell knows?
Saw
I'm
that.
Not buying that. But
you're not. Heyman had that, right?
No, I think it was Passan who had that first.
I thought I saw it from John, but you know, Jeff's always dialed in, whatever. Yeah. Who cares who had it first? You know, I'm trying to get the proper credit. I just don't know off the top of my head. So let me throw this possible scenario at you, and you tell me what you would do here. Let's say the Yankees go 6 years, whatever the money is, Bellinger back to the Yankees, which I think we all think is not very possible, if not very probable. Now, maybe less probable, but still possible. Let's say the Red Sox pony up, go bonkers. Pete goes to dent the Green Monster.
Yeah.
Pete's in Boston. And Tucker does not wind up with the Mets.
Okay.
Now, I know that's a lot of variables.
No, but
I get it.
That's all realistic.
It's not wacky world.
At least to a certain extent.
Those things could happen. Yeah.
No Bellinger, no Alonso, no Tucker.
Okay. What do you do?
I think they could trade for Buxton, potentially.
Okay.
I mean, there's got to be an outfielder somewhere out there that they could go.
Who's playing first?
Well, I mean, that's going to be a different story. It's going to be harder. Now, maybe in that scenario, they go with Vientos there. Well, I'm just saying, in that scenario, and then you have to build elsewhere. I don't know.
Or maybe go for Bregman at third at that point, and then go with a little Beatty, Vientos first base.
It's possible. You know, if all those other top options are off the board, you know, it's possible. There's also got to be names that we're not thinking of that are available via trade.
Yeah, I agree.
But the point is, we trust them. Well, I mean, you should trust them to build a ball club here that's going to be respectable, if not flat out loaded, going into the season. That's where the Mets should be at every year, like the Dodgers, like the Yankees. If not, it's going to be unacceptable. Dustin is calling from Flemington. What's up, Dustin?
Hey, guys. What's up? Want to say, first of all, thanks for what you guys do. You're a great outlet, you know, when the kids are driving me crazy, so I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Belichick, for me, I just can't do. He's been out for too long. He's too old. Girlfriend brings too much nonsense in. A name that I don't think you guys have said yet, Jim Schwartz.
Jim Schwartz, oh my God, no.
Somebody brought him up last weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
As the head coach?
Maybe he's
a D-coordinator. He bombed in Detroit. No way.
I mean, if you're gonna do that, you might as well just go with Spags.
Yeah, but with him, with the Lions back in the day, he developed Stafford, you know, in his early years. I think he can do the same for Dart.
He's a defensive guy, though. I mean, why would you have a defensive guy develop Dart? I'm not saying...
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call there, Dustin. Yeah, I don't like that at all. Like, I don't even think that's remotely attractive.
No.
Schwartz?
No, I would not want to do that. Again, I respect him as a coach, specifically a defensive coordinator, but if I'm going to hire any veteran defensive coordinator, it's going to be Spags.
Yeah.
And even that, I wouldn't do. That, to me, is just not the right thing. If I'm going to go that way and hire a veteran defensive coordinator, why wouldn't I just hire a veteran proven winner as a head coach in Belichick? And if I'm going to go younger, I'm going to go Brian Flores over either Schwartz or Spagnuolo.
I don't know if you're going to laugh at this, I would even hire Robert Saleh before I would hire Jim Schwartz. Think about it.
As a head coach?
I wouldn't hire either. But if it's Jim Schwartz or Robert Saleh, who are you hiring? Give me Saleh.
Not Robert Saleh.
Who are you getting? Ulbrich?
Not Robert Saleh.
So you hire Jeff Schwartz or Jim, whatever the hell his first name is, Saleh?
As a head coach?
Dude, Schwartz was a disaster. I mean, so was Saleh. I can save you the punchline. But 2-14, 6-10, 4-12. Oh, Schwartz. God, he sucked.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't hire either, but I know definitively I wouldn't hire Robert Saleh.
I wouldn't hire. But so, you're saying you would hire Schwartz over Saleh?
Oh, I've never seen Schwartz as a head coach in New York, so at least there's more of an unknown that I take a chance on.
Oh, God, that unknown is terrifying. I thought Schwartz was awful. You know what I knew Schwartz was bad? Remember the. I don't know that you would remember this, and I only really remember it because I was working in San Francisco at the time, right? And it's on YouTube. I guess it was Jim Harbaugh's first year. Do you remember this? The game ends. It's at Ford Field. And I forget how the Niners won, like a last-second sack or a last-second field goal, something last-second. So, obviously, Harbaugh was energized, right? And he goes to shake Schwartz's hand. And, like, he was very, like, he shook it and, like, he, like, jacked it around. Like, he was very aggressive. And then Schwartz went back after him.
Yeah. He was a fiery guy. I like that.
Yeah, no. But then when Jimmy kind of made a U-turn back, Schwartz kind of turtled up. I'm like, that's not the guy you want. Man.
Oh, yeah. No,
Harbaugh owned him. He took his manhood.
Yeah, so I'd rather have Saleh instead. Joe is calling from the Bronx. Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking a call.
Yeah. All right, Joe.
So, you know, a lot of people have been talking about, you know, is Bill out of touch with today's players? And can he relate to them? I think there's no one better that can relate to them. He's going out with someone their age.
Not Joe. All right. No.
in all honesty.
Oh, that is true.
Well, I don't know that it's true. It's true that he, well, I was going to probe that for a minute. So, now, she's obviously younger. And again, you know, kids are in the car. I don't want to be a slob here, but.
No, I'm saying she's 24, like the college kids.
Okay, you think he's interested in the 24-year-old mindset or a 24-year-old body? Come on. Let's just call for what.
Well, but either way, he still could relate, no?
To the body.
I mean, the kids could look up to him and be like, well,
hey, Grandpa.
Coach understands us a little
Grandpa's
bit more.
Got game.
Yeah. Maybe.
Exactly.
What else, Joe?
Honestly, I think the reason he'd be good is I think he would hold the players accountable. And that's what they need. Like someone like with Abdul Carter, that wouldn't happen.
No, that's true. Watch. With you on that. Yep.
Well, that's the thing. And thank you for the call, Joe. If you look at Belichick, to me, one of his greatest attributes is, in fact, that I believe that he would hold everybody accountable. I don't think that that's a great attribute of Mike McCarthy. I'm not saying he wouldn't or would.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that I know that's one of Belichick's strong suits, whereas McCarthy, it's more about offensive play caller, developing the quarterback. So there are maybe strengths that you'd favor him. But with the discipline stuff, with the accountability stuff, with the building a foundation of a successful football team, all those, to me, favor Belichick.
Listen, I think Belichick is definitely a little more no-nonsense than McCarthy. Yeah. He's not a pushover, McCarthy, but Belichick's a little different, or at least he used to be, and maybe he could still be. My fear is that he's kind of lost that zest, but maybe that's an unfair characterization. You know, the one thing that we underrate, we really never seem to bring this to the table, and, you know, I'm there all the time. I mean, like, we think we're so bad in New York and New Jersey and the tri-state area, holding coaches accountable. Try being the Dallas Cowboys head coach.
Yeah.
Where there's not a second team in town to deflect. And you got Jerry going on the morning show of one of our sister stations, you know, doing press conferences after every single game, which he still does. Like, if nothing else, first of all, McCarthy's won a lot. Don't you think he's battle-tested? Like, yeah. I don't think he would be in awe of the magnitude or the stage of New York at all.
Me neither. I think it would be a fine, safer hire where there's more risk with Belichick or Gruden, let's say.
Yeah.
But the upside to me is higher. And I also don't think the floor is as low as some people make it think with Belichick. I mean, it could turn out to be a bust. I'll tell you this. If I'm the idiot Atlanta Falcons, I would get rid of Fontenot and Raheem Morris and hire Belichick the way that they were supposed to do.
Last year.
Well, a couple years ago. Whenever they hired Morris. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
2-3 years ago. I forget the exact timeline. Fontenot's been there 5 years now, I believe. Anyway, they had an opportunity. They passed on it, and look how it went. They took the young up-and-coming head coach who had some experience from the McVay tree most recently, bring the Rams offensive coordinator, and it just has not worked out. So
yeah, they're a mess out there.
Well, but it doesn't mean
and
that...
they got talent, too.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that that way won't work,
yeah,
the young coordinator, but it also doesn't mean that the Belichick way won't work. There mm-hmm. are no guarantees. It's just the way that I would go.
Listen, I know we got a break here, but I think the only thing that would intrigue me about Belichick, and based on what he put out 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, refuting any sort of interest in the Giants job and coming back to the... Like, if I knew for a fact that whether it was, Mr. Mara, whomever, and I'll say Mara, where he looked him in the eye and he said, I have missed this place since the moment I left.
Yeah.
I revere nothing more than New York Giants football. Like, if that was clearly communicated and you really thought that he meant it, which, by the way, if he said it, I believe he would mean it, then that's different. Then I would say all the things that I'm a little fearful of, maybe he lost his fastball, his girlfriend's going to be a pain mm-hmm. in the ass, all the things that are out there, that would excite me, and that could lead me to hire him, but I would need to hear it the right way.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The Giants Drive of the Game brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety, reminding you to make the right choice. Don't drive impaired. Drive of the Game for me, BT, the one where Jackson Dart got de-cleated last night. That's the one I would go with right there. Where I respect Dart for playing all out and being tough as nails. You just got to be smarter. And I don't recall the last time I saw a quarterback get drilled like that. He's just got to be smarter.
I feel like maybe the last time was when Steve Young really took that final concussion. I forget who that was against. I think it was like a primetime game. But that was more like you get drilled in the helmet, in the face, and you go down, and then your head slams against the turf. It is very rare to be able to move another man. I don't care if you're a linebacker on a quarterback or, even a linebacker on a punter.
Yeah,
I mean,
the speed he was coming at him with.
Oh, to move another man against his will, that far in the air and that far away from where he originally was, you don't see that. You know, I've never seen that.
Yeah. And he's got to learn from it.
That was a great hit. It really was.
He's defending it after the game. Clean hit, too.
I know.
Defending his tough play. Watch the tape. It's only one hit. You're talking about, dude, the one hit could have killed you. You need to be healthy here. The Giants need you.
He got off easy. If you look at that hit, at least he got hit with the pad. Like, that was a textbook shoulder hit. I mean, if that was higher, I mean, yeah. He's got to learn. And I don't know how it's going to get coached out of him. It might take one more injury, because obviously the last concussion, and please don't interpret that as me wishing anything. I love the kid. Please. I'm just thinking realistically here, like, if he just got out of concussion protocol, the first time he's back on the field, he's run around like a chicken without his head, you know, tempting fate. You haven't learned yet. It's obvious.
They need to put the pieces in place to help him learn sooner than later. Renato calling from Utica. What's up, Renato?
Hey, BT and Sal, love you guys. Okay, so 2 points. One point on who should be the head coach, and then who should be the GM. Let's go with the assumption that we're both all correct that Jackson Dart is going to be a stud, and then I'm going to give you this guy's resume blind, but just with the fact knowing he did this with people who are backups or out of the league right now. First year, 12-4, lost in the wild card. Second year, 8-8, missed the playoffs. Third year, 8-8, lost in the wild card. Fourth year, 6-11, ultimately fired. He did that with the corpse of Nick Foles, the carcass of Justin Fields, and the carcass of Mitch Trubisky. I think Matt Nagy should be the next coach of the Giants. And I think that the GM should be Lewis Riddick. He's been a player for a decade. He was a pro personnel.
Yeah, but why hasn't he gotten a job? His name has come up forever. Lewis Riddick, and I'm not knocking him or not. I'm not interviewing him, but his name has come up forever, and he's not getting an opportunity.
I mean, in his defense, he's only been interviewed 4 times. Twice in 2020, when everything was hectic with COVID, with the Texans and Lions, and then with the Steelers in 2022, and then last year with the Jets. But that was a sham, because he was interviewed with Ron Rivera, so it was kind of a combo. Ron Rivera was never going to be the head coach of the Jets. So I think they were just following the Rooney rule. So Riddick would create stability. They both come from the Andy Reid coaching tree, and they would bring what the Giants need, respectability. And if you believe Dart is as good as everyone says he is, giving him to Nagy, who did all this with people who are either out of the league or backups currently, that would give the Giants at least a shot to be a relevant franchise and not a joke, like I said last time, where Jon Stewart's making fun of him on The Daily Show.
But Renato, how about this? And thanks for the call. I appreciate the stuff with Nagy and Reddy. I wouldn't do that myself, but way to have everything lined up. I didn't even realize that he interviewed for 4 jobs, so chronologically you had that lined up. Good job by you. Listen, I don't really get too wrapped up in this, but I do think that there are certain times where you need to win the press conference. You need to win it. And remember, a couple of years...
Riddick did? I'm sorry, BT. Rami was just telling me. Riddick interviewed with the Giants in 2017.
2017? That long ago?
Yeah, that's what Rami just said, yeah.
All right. I didn't realize that was that long ago. Either way.
I'm confused. Our last call was suggesting Matt Nagy as
Nagy
the
coach, and then Riddick is the GM. But I do think that the Giants, where they are perceptually and just where they are literally in terms of the standings and this morbid run of football that we've all been exposed to, like a nasty virus... I think whomever gets this job has to walk in with immediate gravitas. Matt Nagy does not do that for you. Belichick would. McCarthy would. Varying degrees, for sure. Mike Tomlin would. You know, I remember when Patino showed up, and I remember even saying to myself, man, you know, having been around St. John's the way I've been around them, Rick Pitino looks right into the camera. He's like, oh, St. John's will be back immediately. You can bank on that. I'm like, how is this guy so confident? And, you know, pretty much immediately they were nationally relevant. And right away, the fears of St. John's fans were alleviated. The enthusiasm just exploded. And I feel like the Giants fan base needs to be picked up and galvanized now. Now, that's not going to necessarily win you games, but I think the press conference matters. And I don't always believe that the press conference matters, but for this situation, I think it does.
Yeah, I would not go the Matt Nagy route. He's
a little better than I think some people think with Chicago, with a quarterback who... Yeah. Did his best work under him.
Yeah. I mean, 8-8, 8-8, 6-11. That's the guy that you want to go with.
I don't want Matt Nagy, but it's not like somebody said Jeff Schwartz, Jim Schwartz. Yeah. He was 2-14 and 3-whatever every year.
Calvin's calling from Washington Heights. What's up, Calvin?
Hey, I have a couple of points that I wanted to make. Fernando Tatis Jr. will be a perfect fit for the New York Mets. He's the outfielder that the Mets should get. The general manager, his plan is to save runs. He wants to save runs, and you want elite players. He's a way better option than Bellinger. He's a 5-2 player, better player. And you can place him in left or right. He is a Platinum Gold Glove winner. He's probably the best defensive outfielder easily right now in the National League. So if the Mets get him, you're doing what the Mets need. He's also a right-handed bat, what the Mets need as well. The second point I wanted to make
We brought him up a couple weeks ago. Yep. I don't know if the Mets are going to be willing to take on another massive contract, you know, along with Soto. But I'm with you. I think that because you talk about platinum defender, you can move Soto to left, and you're getting a bat that's going to be a consistent, you know, higher-end bat.
Five-tool player, by the way.
Yep.
The point is, I know that you're saying about the contract. To defend my point with the contract is, the second baseman, Marcus Semien, his contract would expire when Tatis' contract salary goes up. I think it goes up to 30-something million. So when his contract expires, you can work with that. The second point I wanted to make is Sandy Alcantara, the starting pitcher for the Miami Marlins, is a perfect option for the Mets. If you're not going to end up and pay the price with the prospects for the Detroit Tigers with the amazing pitcher that they have, let's get Alcantara that's under control. You have the prospects, and he's a 1A pitcher that you can have. That's what you need to do. I feel like if the Mets can get those two options and use your prospects with that, that's perfect. I don't want to clog third base too much because you have a prospect in Pena that could be your shortstop, and in the future you could probably move Lindor to third, or either or Pena can play third. So you want to keep third base in the short-term commitments and whoever you put out there. And lastly, for the Yankee fans and the Mets, honestly, for the Yankees is a great option as well. There's the fifth best player in baseball. His name is Jose Ramirez. He's in Cleveland. Somebody slang him and bring him either to whichever New York team. And he'll be a perfect fit for Judge. He'll be a perfect fit for whoever. But this is the fifth best player that doesn't get attention. The most.
He gets attention. Ramirez gets attention.
If Scott Rowland made it to the Hall of Fame, Jose Ramirez is easily in the Hall
maybe,
of Fame.
Oh, I agree with that. Jose Ramirez is a stud.
And thanks for the call. I mean,
he's better than Scott Rowland.
We know who Ramirez is as a player. And I think now it used to be always the best player that nobody talks about. No, enough people talk about Ramirez with Cleveland. He's that good. Why in the world would Cleveland give him up? When he's their best player, I mean, I could see trading other pieces. You're going to trade him for what? And it's not like he's costing him a ton of money. Isn't he locked up for a good price?
I'm getting the numbers here. He signed a very team-friendly deal a couple of years ago with the Guardians. I was stunned when I saw the deal. Yeah. So he made $19 million this year.
Right.
19.
How many more
think
years?
Think about Grisham making 22. So next year, Grisham will make more than him. So next year, 21. Then 23, then 25. So three more years on the books, 20, 40, 60, $69 million. He's 33, could run, switch hitter, pop, like, sick fielder, stud.
If you're Cleveland.
Hall of Famer.
If you're Cleveland and you trade him, what are we doing here?
I know. Pack up shop.
But exactly. Fold up shop. He's your best player. He's in the prime of his career.
Yep.
He's young and under team control for three more years. At a great cost,
and he's your only marketing chip. Yeah, really, think about the kids who love the jerseys, the merchandise. It's Ramirez. I mean, it's not going to be Stephen Kwan. They're going to trade him, we would think, at some point. And they've gotten rid of. I mean, nobody's making money. It's crazy how little money their players make.
Now, from our perspective, from the Mets or Yankees, if you want to focus Yankees here, that's fine.
Yep.
Then go try to get, if you could get Ramirez and Kwan. Think of how much of a home run deal that would be. I don't know what it would take to make that happen, but if it's possible, sure. I'm just looking at it realistically from the Guardians' perspective, and I don't see any way possible that they would trade Ramirez. Could be wrong, and if he's available, then both the Mets and Yankees and everybody else in baseball that matters should try to go get him.
And
hard to imagine he'd be available.
Yeah, I wouldn't think he would be either. You got to keep one staple. I mean, you really do. Although, back in the day, the Royals, when they were really having financial issues, they got rid of Damon and Beltran, those players you thought would be around forever. We know what happened with the Expos. That was a different set of, financial issues. But the other thing about him, he plays every day. You go back to the COVID condensed season, played 58 out of 60 games, and then in the last 5 years, 152, 157, 156, 158, 159. Names in the lineup every day.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by my friends at Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Alan is calling from Freehold, New Jersey. What's up, Alan?
Sal, when you talk about he'll learn, he just got out of concussion protocol and he's been whacked in the head. And what he does last night, trying to get that extra yard because he would have won the Super Bowl, and he got decleated and sent into the stands, and it was a legal hit. When's he going to learn?
Well, I mean, well, Alan, I mean, it's not going to take overnight. I mean, he's a rookie still.
Well,
he hasn't played. He hasn't even played a full season of games, not even close. So,
now, I understand, but he just came out of pro. It's like me getting an F or Abdul Carter sleeping or watching whatever he's watching. But he does it the next week.
Are you alluding to a Wes Steinberg tweet?
Right? Yeah, I was forgetting. You imagine that was true?
Yeah. I don't know what he's watching. But we got
Ace out. I mean, there are worse things you could be doing. Yeah, good.
We know one thing. True. He's not watching film.
Yeah, well, or not the film he should be watching. And thank you for the call. That was a funny call.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, there you have it. Call today in case you missed it. Check it out on the free Odyssey app, 888-808-1019. Let's finish up. BT on the phones, Joe Shane. I guess the guys in the afternoon will have it. Evan and Tiki Show coming up next. He's speaking at 1:45. At this particular point, I don't need to hear
riveting anything. Stuff. Can't wait to hear nothing.
Right.
Fantastic.
Well, we're kind of no man's land. Had it happen an hour ago, maybe we take a little bit of it.
Yeah. And then I'm sure we'd mock it because what is he going to possibly say to give anybody confidence or reassurance that he's the one?
Yeah, I don't want to hear from Joe Shane. I want to hear from the people telling me that Joe Shane's going to be fired. So I don't need to hear what he has to say. BT and Sal on the Fan. Vince is calling from Trenton, New Jersey. What's up, Vince?
Vince.
Hey, guys. I'm actually a Rams fan, so I'm going to try to be objective. But I listen to you guys. I'm a Yankee diehard.
Nice.
Love to see the Jets and Giants both do well. Here's why I think Gruden is the wild card pick, the one thing he could bring. Not sure if you ever saw the Gruden quarterback shows. But the one where he had Jason Dart in there about a year ago, and the love he has for Dart as a player, but what he said to him, and I would encourage everybody to watch this.
Yeah, we've played this. We played the audio a couple weeks ago.
Yep, we had it on the show.
He warned him that you're going to kill yourself. And I truly think he's the guy that'll get through to this kid, because if you don't protect this asset, everything's up in smoke.
Yep.
And I really think for some reason Dart may gravitate to what he has to say about literally living the play 2, 3, 4, 10 more years.
Here's the thing. It can't be just about Jackson Dart. And thanks for the call. Now, that's got to be a massive part of the consideration and the calculus here. But I need a head coach that I know is going to win games. And I just, you know, yeah, Gruden's more interesting than McCarthy. Press conferences would be better than Belichick. He's wacky. He's fiery. He's honest. He's transparent. Can he coach anymore? Like, he really has not won a lot of games in a long time.
Yeah, I know. I would have him second of the current guys. Forget Tomlin or anybody else. The dream scenarios of Belichick, McCarthy, Gruden. I would have Gruden second. And maybe I am just being a sucker for that video, but I did love that with Jackson Dart. Not only what he was saying, but the way he was saying it.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I liked it too. Don't get me wrong. I liked it too.
And I'm a Gruden guy anyway, so... I don't know, man. We've debated this for so long and go over the records and know, well, he wasn't that good with the Raiders the second go-round. Yeah, but I still believe he could be a good head coach. Am I hanging on to the past too much with Belichick or with Gruden? Maybe, but I still believe in it. And it's more of a known commodity than taking a shot on a first-time head coach like we've seen many times over fail here, specifically in New York.
I get it, and I'm a big Gruden fan, but the facts are and the numbers are what they are. You know, with Tampa, after the first Raiders stint, where they had Rich Gannon, obviously a really good team, 57-55, and a lot of the wins earlier were the previous coach's players. He didn't really elevate the roster, didn't elevate the building. Then he goes to the Raiders for the second time, and he's 29-36. Ugh. It's just, you know, the first Raiders stint was 1998 through 2001. That's when he won us most. The league's changed a lot. I'm not saying he's completely not adaptable, but he's, if I say McCarthy's a solid double, in the gap, stand up double, not a home run, how would you characterize Gruden? You know, double? Would you say the same thing or more or less?
I think it could be a strikeout. I think it could be a home run. I think there's more variables there. If McCarthy is a solid double, I think that there's more. I don't think McCarthy's anything more than a double, where I think Gruden, Belichick could be a home run, but they also could be less than a double if it continues going the way that it did with Gruden at the end with the Raiders and the way that Bill has gone with the end of the Patriots and with North Carolina.
See, I don't know. I feel like you're penalizing McCarthy for being boring. Like, if McCarthy had the resume that he has and he had the personality that Gruden has, I guarantee we'd all be sitting here saying, well, we wouldn't say it because somebody else would have hired him, so we couldn't hire him. I feel like, you know, he's just a big lug with the sweatshirt and like Midwest, you know, doesn't shave. You know, it looks like he's, you know, should be lifting tractors or something. And he doesn't have much of a personality. He's not very dynamic, but his record is, you know, it's so much better than Gruden. They both have the one championship, but the frequency of wins for McCarthy is undeniable compared to Gruden, but the allure of Gruden's personality, it's intoxicating.
Corey is calling from Massapequa Park. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good afternoon.
What's up, Corey?
Oh, yeah. Great day.
Yeah. So, two quick things. I want to comment on the coaching stuff, but first, with the Jackson Dart and the sliding, I think it's, you know, it's obvious for the risk of injury. To me, and even with that big hit that he had on the sideline yesterday, what's crushing is the momentum that it gives the other team, right? Like, think about it when we're on defense and, say, like Jalen Hurts or another scrambling quarterback runs, the only thing you can salvage in that play is a lick on the quarterback, right? Even if he gets 15 yards, like, all right, well, there's a touch. So to me, it's the momentum that we lose with him running and these other teams, especially when you're on the road with a bunch of drunk Patriots fans, seeing their team rock our quarterback, it's just another momentum hit that we lose. So to me, I just feel like he really has to button that up, obviously for his safety, but also for the momentum that he gives to the other team. The second thing regarding coaching, I heard a lot of callers talking about, you know, a coach that will elevate or continue to elevate Jackson Dart. Yes, I put more of that stock into the offensive coordinator. I need a coach that's going to motivate the other 52 guys, right? So the Mike Tomlins, like you were saying, that would be a dream scenario. Mike McCarthy, you know, the Belichick, things like that. So I don't know what they're going to do with that, but give me someone that's going to motivate everyone and let's put the value into elevating Dart into the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Corey. See, I would not look to hire somebody just to have Jackson Dart make the most of him. I'm looking to hire a real head coach.
That's what I was saying before. Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's important.
But we understand the importance of also developing the look. You brought in Brian Daboll specifically to fix Daniel Jones and maximize him. You're going to go down the same route, just looking to get a head coach in here to maximize the quarterback's potential. I would rather get a head coach and have Dart's going to be fine. Meaning his skill set.
He was good with Daboll.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So his skill set is not going to get any worse. This is not a quarterback who needs some offensive guru to be successful.
Yes.
He needs some tough coaching.
Yeah.
And somebody to teach him some discipline and the right way to do things.
Uh-huh.
And that to me is more of a head coach as opposed to just an offensive coordinator.
See, I agree with that take there, Sal. Like when you look at bringing somebody in to fix or accelerate the growth of a quarterback that you recently drafted. Think somebody like Trey Lance, who was sloppy, or Zach. I mean, a lot of New York examples, obviously. Or even Bryce Young early. Like, to me, I see a polish to Jackson Dart, and I saw it immediately, and we all saw it, that gives me confidence that nobody needs to hold his hand. Whereas some of the other quarterbacks I just mentioned, they needed that. Otherwise, they were going to drown. And you can get somebody who can walk down the hall and knock on the special teams door or the defensive building, you know, the defensive door and impart some wisdom and, you know, some direction. I don't think you need, like, the training wheels are off already for Jackson Dart. He seems to be very mature once he learns how to slide and get out of harm's way. So I'm with you. Get a football coach, not a quarterback guru.
Paul is calling from Yonkers. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. A pleasure. Steve Cohen just got the okay for an $8 billion casino.
Lucky Stevie.
So what he needs is Citi Field to be packed with fans. So when the time comes after the Mets win, they go into his casino. So it makes it imperative that he signs Pete Alonso to carry him the next couple of years while he builds his casino. So there's no more playing around here. The Mets have to be solid good to keep the Met fan interested.
Yeah. You know what's thank you for the call there, Paul. We appreciate you, buddy. I mean, let's look at the facts here, guys. So before Juan Soto got here, your owner rightfully implored you to show up without saying it quite, you know, so straightforwardly. Hey, I'm spending, you do your job, show up and support our team, support my team. Because there were too many nights where there were 17,000 people on a Tuesday. I'm talking about during the pennant race. You guys know this. Or 19,000 or 21 even on a weekend. And you're going for a pennant race, man. Fill the building. So Cohen has always done his job in terms of cutting the checks. And Soto comes, and it went from the numbers that were to 40,000 every night, attendance record, Citi Field. So I don't agree that you need Alonso to keep the place full. Because Pete Alonso, while you love him, Met fans, I get it. He was never the draw that some of you think that he was. And the numbers back that up.
And bottom line is they got to win, BT. That's it. We've seen it. Now they have the star in Soto. You want to say that Lindor, Alonso, All-Stars, okay, fair enough. They've gotten that. They need to win. That's the bottom line. They have to win consistently. It was supposed to be sustained success from 2022 on. They failed in 2023. Then 2024, they make the postseason. And last year, how could they not make the postseason? And yet they fell short even after signing Juan Soto to the biggest deal ever. So to me, it's not about getting fans in the seats. I know that that's the business part of it.
Sure.
If you win, the fans will come out. So they already went out last year, saw a miserable losing season. Not losing, but you know, the 83 wins, falling short of a postseason. They need to start winning some games. So I don't care who they bring in, just build the best baseball team and people will come out.
That's always going to move the needle more than not. But they won the previous year, what, 89 games, and they, you know, and they didn't really fully fill the building. You know, you still need that massive star power. Lindor's good. Pete's going to hit some bombs. Soto's different.
Rob is calling from Morristown. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How are we? You guys having to catch the kick from old young Hoku last night? I'm surprised that guy didn't break his ankle trying to kick that thing.
Dude, that was ridiculous. That was like me. I was telling Sal, I used to play lefty golf and then back surgery, whatever. I moved to the right side. And I have taken swings where the divot that I've taken has gone further than the ball. That looked like my golf swing yesterday.
I mean,
I don't know how that happens to a pro athlete.
Yeah, exactly. He's a professional kicker. You got to kick the ball, not the ground. Like I've never seen that, man. It's pretty simple. Just let it loose. You're better off kicking air if the ball's not there.
Yes.
Then you're kicking. You're going to get hurt that way. Like, what are you doing?
You see the poor holder got crushed by three dudes, too. Yeah. Like 9 yards back. He got lit up. I mean, and then Kuz, you know, explanation. Yeah, the ball wasn't on the ground. It wasn't spotted. No, it was. I don't know what he was thinking.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. It's your last chance to score Cyber Monday mega deals. Shop up to 50% off plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.